BBC Radio Devon Sport.
But let's start with the chairman, Paul Stapleton, who was up at Home Park last week to announce details of a major new fundraising initiative for the Youth Academy.
I thought I'd take the opportunity to speak to everybody here who's got their heart and soul in Plymouth Argyle and tell them a few things about what's been going on and is likely to go on in the near future. Andy King, our chief scout, is going to be here tonight to talk to you. And of course, Steve Davis, our head of sales and marketing, will talk in detail about the Argyle Foundation and how important it is to us. And while we all want you to become members for this scheme, as I say, Paul Sturrock's fully behind what we're trying to do. We have got a very good setup in the youth at the moment with Mike Pedrick and all his qualifications, and Gordon Bennett, who actually works so many hours, it's unbelievable, as an administrator. And so we've got the people in place in our youth setup, and it's important that we progress that. But I'll explain certain things that we're trying to do that will help that, not necessarily asking you for anything, but which we're trying to do to make sure that comes through. Steve Davis is relatively new to the club, you know, as head of sales and marketing, he's doing a good job. And he wrote me some bullet points. And the first two bullet points said, current position of the club, and how did the club get to that position? And I thought to myself, well, we're fourth bottom and we haven't won a game yet. That was the answer to that. But I don't think he meant that. I think what he meant was that we're an established championship club who have improved every year for the last 7 years by organic growth. It's been done by us, ourselves and our supporters, and pushing us on. It's getting harder. I've said that for the last few years. We're in one of the most competitive leagues in the world, but I want us to at least be in this league and competing against these teams. It's probably better than the Premiership. I've got to say that to you. You know, with the doctor from Abu Dhabi and Roman Abramovich and the actual situation where four or five clubs are at the top. The Championship last year, anybody could have beaten anybody. And to go away and beat Sheffield United and Watford and Charlton, games like that, you know, this league is so important to us. And, you know, at the very least, we want to try and progress again. I know we haven't had the best of starts. We've got some good players come in. The intention is to progress that and to push on. And, you know, I get upset as same as anybody in this room when we lose. You know, I know people might shout, oh, bloody rubbish, we lost. I feel the same. And the only person I can show that is probably my wife and the dog, you know. And anyway, they don't. Neither of them come and give me a cuddle. So just a few things that are happening or happened around Plymouth Argyle, because I know you've come tonight, you were thinking, what's it all about? But I think if I get the opportunity to talk to what I call hardcore supporters, people who care passionately to be here tonight, and, you know, just tell you what's been going on, because we've got a new Japanese director, Yasuaki Kagami. Can't speak much English, so I don't speak to him very often, but I speak to his managing director associate called George Sinan, who's American, and a Plymouthian called Tony Campbell, who's our link. Every day I'll probably speak to them. You know, as I said before, I speak to them more than I do a lot of other people. And because of the time difference and everything else, they want to know what's going on. But they came over recently. Those of you who perhaps read the local press, we had a really good meeting. Mr. Okadera came over as the new president. He's number two in the Japanese FA. And he's gone back to Japan and said, I love Plymouth. I love Plymouth Argyle. Talked to the Japanese FA about plans to recruit and develop some of Japan's best young players, and with the possibility of bringing them over to Plymouth. For us to, in our youth setup, to encourage them. Someone said they wanted to be exposed to different styles of football. Well, we're certainly different, I think, aren't we, in Plymouth? But, you know, that's them trying to do something their way. What we're trying to do is say, right, okay, where is the commercial? Where is the sponsorship? Where are the international players? Where's the link from Japan? And they've assured me that they're exploring all commercial and sponsorship activities. Britain's been in the depths of this credit crunch. I don't want to talk too much about that because we're fed up with it. We want to press on with things we enjoy. So they're looking worldwide for sponsors, and there's sporting links and there's sporting companies they're working with. And also, as for players, their season in Japan, there's a lot of speculation that goes around on websites and everything else. Japan's season ends in December. So at the end of December, there will be a number of Japanese players out of contract. Now, the only way we'll bring any Japanese players here is if Mr. Sturrock says he wants them. They've got to be good enough, and they've got to be people that he wants. It's no good just picking any Japanese international saying, come to Plymouth. We've said as a board, and my fellow director, Tony Rath, who's there, we will never do that. We'll never undermine Paul Sturrock. You'll have this Keegan situation or the Kerbishley situation. A manager picks the players. We sometimes say, oh, he hasn't played for 3 years. You sure you want this player or whatever, or his wages are £1 million a week. Do you want this player? But generally, we only had words of reason about the whole situation. He picks the players. So if you want to blame any... No, sorry, Ian. Sorry, he's... Paul's not here, so I can't really say anything. Ask him that question. Whether there'll be youngsters coming, as I say, or established Japanese internationals, it's amazing, really, because I was talking to Paul Sturrock about 2 months ago, and the Japanese were sending names over it. It was Suzuki and Honda. Probably got a good engine. Oh, no, sorry, sorry. There may be a tour to Japan next year rather than Austria, but we'll only do that if it's right for us. It's in the middle of their season in Japan, but if they pay for the trip and bring some fans, and we might do it if it works into that basis. We do send DVDs of all our games across to Mr. Kagami and Mr. Okadera, so they're fully up to date with what goes on. What do you say? Harry Carey, it says here. No, they are interested in what... in fact, Mr. Kagami's going to come over in October, he tells me, to catch some games in October. So I think we're playing Preston in a midweek game, then he might be over for that one. I want to tell you something about development. I see Vivian Pengelly there, so she'll shoot me down if I say anything out of order, but... I know she's a keen Argo supporter, so she will help us to achieve our goal, won't she? As you may know, the government inspector visited in July 2008 to look at the Plymouth City Council Area Action Plan, and we're part of that plan. They actually approved the plan for the council, and which means that they approved the bit that we're in as well. We advertised for a development partner in a magazine anybody in construction or development might know called Estates Gazette. And we're pleased to say, and we haven't announced this anywhere at the moment, but we're pleased to say that we're in the next stage of the process with development partners. So we've had responses, positive responses. They've come back to the board meeting. We've now engaged them to go on to the next stage. They're going to visit the site. They're going to see what can be done at Home Park. And then they're going to come back with a plan of possible development, commercial development on the site and costings. And fundings and financial information, which is what is my profession. But I need to see that to see where we're going. But the news we've heard, even in this situation in the country, that there is positive attitude out there to what we're trying to do at Plymouth Argyle. We're also meeting with the council's advisors on the master plan for Central Park now. As you see some signs, as you may have come along the main roads, it talks about the Life Centre project and talks about 2011 being ready. I mean, I know the council's aim is to have something ready that may be used by Olympians in 2012. I think that's partly the aim. And the aim is that we will be fully up and running by that time as well, if not before. We need to be part of the council's master plan because they've said if we're doing some development work and transport work and road work, and there's some councillors in the room I know, that we need to be part of it. But we're told by our development partners, potential, that they're going to come back to us by December, and they're going to tell us where we are. If we as a board approve that, then we'll be putting in planning applications early in the new year to progress at long last the development of the South Stand and the site. So it seems to have taken an age. You know, one of my ambitions when I joined the board was to push the club up, the divisions obviously, but also to see the ground fully developed, and we did the three sides. I know Dan had signed the deal, I know that, but in January 2002 we opened the other side and beat Oxford 4-2, and it seems such a long time ago that it's something which has been on the agenda all the time, and I know people get fed up. It's not called phase 2 anymore, by the way, or phase 21, no, it's something that we are pushing on even in this difficult time, and all the signs are looking positive, so I'm really pleased to share that bit with you. I know you might say, well, that doesn't sound like any news, but it is good news that there's companies out there who have got anchor tenants who might want to come into our site, and they're pushing on with that, and I'm sure Vivian Pengelly there will be pleased about that as well, because the last thing they want is a life centre with an old sort of car park and an old grandstand sat here as well. So if we can complement each other and bring Plymouth and the region up and the stadium, which can be used for all sorts of activities, then fantastic for all of us, really. Just another bit of news, and this affects the academy vision to a certain degree, is we train at Harper's Park, and I know some people here probably walk over there. It's basically two pitches, no buildings, structures, no lights, just two pitches. And, you know, you get some premiership-type players come down and think, why are we on this old field sort of thing? But, it's, you know, we've had the lease for so many years, it runs out in 5 years. Well, we've just negotiated a new 99-year lease with the City Council. It's in with their legal department at the moment, but all the facts, all the figures, everything's been agreed. And so we have a situation where we've got security of tenure in our training ground. So I was a bit worried that something would happen with Central Park. But a capability to erect buildings and structures and also floodlighting. We have to ask permission for floodlighting, but we've got now a situation where we can actually say to the players, rather than park here and walk around in the cold, the rain and the ice and the wind. Shame, isn't it? We'll get them a bus, I think. No, that we might actually have facilities over at the training ground where they can change and the physio. But also, when we're talking to the City Council about this seriously, we're looking at whether there are any adjoining pitches which might be able to increase our area for training, because whilst we've played at football in the past, and I don't mean that unkindly, we now need to make sure we have more pitches, better facilities, a rubber crumb pitch if we can do it, and we're looking at that with the FA, Supporters Trust, and everybody else. And if we can talk nicely to the council about adjoining pitches, we might be in a position where we actually set this academy vision up, because we've got the wherewithal and we've got the training grounds to push this football club on. The first step was to get a new lease, which we've agreed. It's funny because Paul Stewart was desperate for us to get a water pipe. There's no water on the training ground, and we don't need it really, do we, with all this weather, but it costs £1,000 anyway. But we actually have got that going in as well. So it's, you all say, well, what's going on at the club? But it's little steps, and you spend, you know, time in doing the agreement, negotiating, arguing about this, and just to get the benefit. So that's going to happen. It's just about now being signed. I'm saying, really, please tick that box, and now let's look at making sure that they get proper facilities over there. I'm very pleased that the lease has been sorted out. I issued a statement on the website today about transfer money in and out, because someone made a comment the other day that I was buying a holiday home and you know, doing this and doing that, and where's all the money gone and everything else. I'm a professional accountant, and it sometimes goes against the grain to talk too publicly about figures. And I know David Stark there, chartered accountant and councillor, will say the same, because we've been trained never to say too much about figures, because you might have a slip of the tongue. But anyway, I decided today that after too much time of people saying, well, you've got this and what about this in the bank and what about that, that I actually issued a statement. And basically, I wanted to set the record straight about, this is not about tonight, by the way, I just want to set the record straight about where we are. When Ian Holloway came to us, he said, we need some strikers. And if you bear in mind, we only had Nick Chadwick signed on at the time. I want to buy Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, and the deal is so much, and then so much on appearances. I want to buy Hales. And then the following January, I want to buy Fallon. So before we even had any transfer money in, if anyone looks at maths, we paid money out. So in the time from then to now, we spent £3.8 million on players. But there's a big but here. A lot of these deals these days says, if you play 10 games, we'll give your club another 50,000. If you play 20 games, another 100,000. So a lot of it is like never, never money, but it comes quicker than you think sometimes. So we have £650,000 as, I don't even know if it's a contingent liability, but a liability on appearances. You know, and you sit there and think, oh, if that chap plays another game, there's another 50,000 going out. But you can't say that, really, because you want your team to win and whatever. So 3.8 with 650 sat there alongside it, which is, if you took that as being definite paid out, it's 4.4 million. We actually got in for players 6.4 million. I know a lot of the transfer fees are undisclosed in the agreement with the football club, but it's 6.4 million, I can tell you. Out of that, we had to pay previous clubs. We had to pay Manchester United some money for Sylvain. They haven't got enough. I even said to them, we just let us off that, and they said no. In the deal with Sylvain, it was, you can buy Sylvain at this good price, but if you sell him, we want a share of the profit. You understand that, you can't, you know, it's life, isn't it? But when you had to write the cheque out to Man United, you felt a bit sick, really. agents commission. If anybody brings a foreign player over, the agent tends to say, oh, well, I'm in this deal, thank you. If you ever sell him and make a profit, I need some money. So we've actually committed ourselves and spent out of that 600,000, which leaves me with 5.8. So 5.8 take away 4.4 is about 1.4. And really, that doesn't just cover our loss for last year in May 08. Now, I didn't want to go shouting too much about that because you in the transfer window, because you could pick people off, or was a business being run properly. You can sustain some losses because you may have reserves brought forward, and you can sustain it also if you're willing to, the director's willing to put money in or to back guarantees or whatever. So that happens in life, so we know that. But as it happened, some of that loss I've just told you about was incurred by us in January when four players left and Barry Hales was on the bench a bit. Gosling was just coming through, but mainly Ebanks and Norris. First teamers left and Paul Sturrock said, I want to buy four players. And you know the four players we bought in January. And one was our record signing, Steve McLean. And we also got four players on loan, which included two Scottish internationals who were Premiership players, which necessitated us paying Premiership wages and a loan fee to a Premiership club. Goes against the grain, I know, but Paul said, these players coming in, Scottish international winger, you've replaced Norris. Defender, we had a bit of problems with injuries at the back. I bought the transfer record. So in our view, we got eight in and four out. And we said, we'll pay more on wages because we understand we've just got some transfer fee income. So it's a bit like anybody at home, got a bit extra money, we'll go and spend that. And when it doesn't quite work and things transpire against you and you think, oh, that was a, you know, we had two loan players who didn't really play, Sandor and Djukovic. And you think, oh, I paid their wages and didn't get anything in return. And that frustrates me and frustrates you. Frustrates Paul Sturrock probably because you always expect them to be value for money, if you like. So we knew we were spending more wages out. And so whilst that's a revenue expense as opposed to buying somebody, we knew that we could support it with the money we got in. What it means is, you know, there's no war chest of funds available. We've been able to do things lately because we've said, right, we'll support the manager, we'll support the club, we'll support the team, because if we're not doing that, why are we here? So we've done that, and we hope at the January signings, and they would have tried to be here tonight, I know, but they've gone on this bonding thing, with Mpenza and Marin and Gallagher, you know, we're hoping we get the extra impetus up front, because we haven't scored in three league games, and if you don't score, a bit like Burnley, you haven't scored for three league games. Crystal Palace only scored in the fourth one, and they lost that one. So if you don't score, you don't even have a chance of winning the game. So it's so important that we spent some money in that area to try and push on the players we've got and also push the team on. As a board, we got the job of ensuring we compete in the Championship. We fully appreciate your support and your, if you like, disappointment when things don't go right. I mean, Swansea was poor, I know. Sipes goal should have counted. And then suddenly we might have had the momentum go on. You said, well, we were really rubbish, but we got a win. And we all go and say, thank goodness for that. As it happened, disallowed for no reason. And we went to pot. Everyone got nervous and we lost. So I'm hoping that we'll turn the corner very soon. We've got three games in like 10 days, 8 days, whatever. Two London games away. And we've got to try and make sure we get the points. But I just want to explain a bit about cash. I mean, you can't ask Paul Sturrock that question because I don't think you know the answer. But you know, I just wanted everyone here to be aware of that and try and be open with you. As I said, it didn't come easy for me because I think, well, when the accounts are published, everyone will see that anyway because there's some shareholders here. But really, it's about time I did say it. I understand that. So I hope you understand my position. Steve Davis wrote down that I should talk about football strategy. Well, that's a bit difficult for me because every time I tell Paul Sturrock, he says I haven't got a clue. So I'm going to leave that to the manager when he comes. But it's absolutely vital that we compete and that we have a really good youth policy and this ambition for academy status. As I said about the land and the buildings, we need coaches. We need proper sort of grassroots setup. This vision is so important. The Premiership clubs get so much money, they just go and buy an academy. I feel sorry for Man City because anyone who came to the Youth Cup matches last year saw some really good football. And when you looked at their players, they were fantastic. And we competed, but they were fantastic. And now what may happen is Money Man may come in and just buy people at the top and the youth people just disappear. And it's such a shame because actually Man City were, I think they actually won the cup in the end and they were really brilliant. And that boy Sturridge, I know he's moved on, but now they'll sign Robinho and somebody else and he'll be done. And we'll say, can we have him on loan, please? And they'll say, yes, 20,000 a week. So, As I said earlier, Mike Pedzik and Gordon Bennett are already here. We need to push that along. We've come a long way. You know, we're in the top 30, in my eyes, in the country. I don't know if you remember, about four years ago, there was talk of a Premiership 2 and a Phoenix League. Might have been 6 years ago. And we were in the bottom league then. I'm at the league meeting, and they're saying all the League 1 or Division 2, whatever you call it then, all go to a meeting, and all the threes and fours go round the corner and, you know, have a cup of tea. And I said to someone, what's happening? He said, oh, we're going to have a Premiership 2. And all the ones who were in it, like Coventry, Bradford, whatever, were saying, yeah, we work for that. Pull the ladder up, get rid of them. I said, that's not fair, because we're still in the bottom league. My aim is to get in that top 40, so when they do pull the ladder up, we're with them. Well, I know it's like... But we are, you know, we're this team down the southwest. It's geographically difficult at times, but we're here. We deserve to be there. And we're there. And, you know, we're going to make sure we stay there. And we're going to make sure we push and try. And, you know, the manager gets the team right. We've got to do things right, and we've got your support. And that's all I can ask for. And I know I will moan the same as anybody else if you lose games and don't score goals. We're charged then with trying to put it right. But we hope you understand what we're trying to do. As I said, the geography can be a problem. We have people saying, no, it's too far away. I want to live near my gran and my wife's having a baby. You heard all the stories before. And we have to say, yeah, we know it. Once they come here, it's brilliant. They love it. They love the West Country. A lot of people here may have moved down and stayed here. And because we've got that geographical advantage, which sometimes is a disadvantage, we are unique in that respect. And we've got Cornwall and Devon, and we tap into other areas. So we try and flood that area to make sure we tap everybody. Anybody who can come through to Plymouth and support Plymouth. We've got a great Cornish support, we know that. We're really proud of everybody who supports this area. And if we can sort of maximise that, then it'll go a long way to make this club sustainable. As I say, we need your help to progress things and to develop the youth setup further. I thank you for listening to me. Enjoy your evening, and thank you for your support for our club. Thank you.